Church, it is good to be in the house of the Lord. We are a church, if you are new here, that is hungry to pass the baton. We believe that God has called us to run a race, but it is not just the finish line that we have in mind. Hallelujah. We are not simply running our race for the trophy at the end, but we are running the race, number one, because God has run it first, and so he's called us along this path, but we are also running the race, understanding that this is a team sport. Oh, someone needs to just let that sink in this morning. Some of us here today are running our race and you are falling weary. You are growing tired. It's because you have thought that this is an individual race. And I just want to take the weight of that off of your shoulders right now. You have never run this race by yourself. God has always been with you. And if you know the Lord as your Savior, you have also been called to something greater than yourself called the church. And it is important for us to make sure that we understand in all the allegory and all the examples and everything that's moving in our lives that we are not an individualistic creation and body of Christ. We serve one area. We have been equipped in a certain way to bring glory and light to the Father, but we only actually truly get to show people who God really is together. I can represent Jesus in my own way, but with your help, I can represent him much more clearly. Because you understand things about God that I don't understand. In this room today, and we've said this before, there are so many different testimonies and stories and revelations and just miracles that you've all seen. And all of that together will allow the light of the Lord to shine clearly in our city. And so if you're here today, I want you to really challenge yourself. Maybe you're taking notes. That would be great. Maybe you're taking notes this morning. I want you to just underline, I am not alone. This is not a solo race. One of the best ways that we, over the last 3 years, have taken this path together is through something called HeartStrong. Now, if you're here today, and you've been following, walking with us for the last 3 years, but you haven't engaged in HeartStrong, it's not too late. We're still doing it. We're still out there. It is amazing. You need to come and join in what it is that's going on. We have reading plans set up and this incredible Zoom call that's put in place every morning and every evening. And this was never meant to be to simply equip you individually. We believe, Pastor Jason and Lori, as they were just sitting with the Lord, brought this forward to the rest of the campus pastors, and then we brought it forward to the rest of our staff, and we have all agreed that our church is on a 3-year journey to be challenged in being more intentional and understanding and digging in more to every book of God's Word. And so we started in the book of Matthew, and we are now today concluding the book of Ecclesiastes. This week, you're going to get into one of my favorite books, Song of Solomon, woohoo! And then also into the book of Isaiah. No woohoo for Song of Solomon? Come on, Christians. Come on, Christians. Come on, it's in there for a reason. He made it. He delights in it. It's good. Now, lucky for you, this message today is not on the Song of Solomon, but I would be amiss to simply skip over it. In the delight of what it is that God has created in the confines of marriage, sex is good. And it is good to honor one another. It is good to speak well of one another. Poetry is beautiful. Flowers are beautiful. And what God has made in its proper context with everything else, it is good. It is good. And so I encourage you this week to sit in the Songs of Solomon. For those young people that are here and you're thinking, listen, marriage is like 10 or 15 years away. It is well to prepare yourself now to begin to ask yourself and enter into this conversation. God, may I be worthy. May I be worthy of showing someone else the same love that you've showed me. Oh, what a delightful expression. To ask God to send you someone to where you can simply once again not only carry your cross for Jesus, but also carry your cross for a loved one. Oh, it's beautiful. Anyway, Song of Solomon, that was all for free. It's exciting. It's coming this week. Get in there. Get on HeartStrong. I can't wait. I'm so excited for all of our teachers this week. They're going to squirm and but it's going to be so good. It's so good. But Ecclesiastes is where we're finishing today, and then we're going to step into the book of Isaiah at the end of this week. And church, prepare yourselves. The book of the books of Isaiah, Jeremiah. There is such power in those scriptures. Regan led us today from Jeremiah 31, all of this language that was spoken over the Israelite people in the Old Testament that God and Jesus brought to the forefront as he walked the earth, and it is still relevant for us today. So if you have your Bibles, you can go ahead and turn to Ecclesiastes chapter 7. Ecclesiastes chapter 7, and we'll also be diving into the New Testament a little bit in the book of Luke, in the book of Matthew. But Ecclesiastes chapter 7 and Ecclesiastes chapter 12 will carry the focus of us today. Let's pray. So God, I thank you for what it is that you're already doing in this place. Lord, I sense that you're stirring hearts in this place. Lord, I sense a hunger and an expectancy in this place today. And so, Lord Jesus, I pray that you would move as only you can move, God. Lord, I pray that you would speak as only you can speak, Lord. Lord, I pray that we would be a people that would be hungry today for your correction. God, I pray that we would be a people today that would be open today, Lord Jesus, for your rebuke. God, I pray that we would be hungry and thirsty today, Lord Jesus, for more of your mercy and more of your grace and a deeper understanding of your love. Lord, may our hearts and our ears be open for whatever it is that you want to speak. And may we be faithful, Lord Jesus, in walking this life out, not for what it is that we are hoping to get, but honestly, Lord God, to allow your light to shine through us as a body of Christ, a collection of believers. And so may each individual light be fanned into flame. But Lord, may the light of what it is that you've asked Life Center Kanata and Orleans and Cornwall, Lord God, I pray that there would be such an eruption of your spirit in these places, Lord, that it would be an undeniable truth that these people are living for the Lord. And so we ask that today in your holy name. Amen. Amen, amen. As we get in the book of Ecclesiastes, we talked a little bit about it last week, that Ecclesiastes calls us to fast forward to the end so that we can live our life properly today. Last week, we brought the analogy of the funeral into the full kind of perspective of what was going on, that what is it that people will say about you at the end of your life? It's the character. It's the kindness. It's the life in which you lived. And we don't want to wait until the end to actually live those things out today. If someone is going to speak those great words over you right now, think of those people whose funerals that you've attended. Maybe it was your grandparents. Maybe it was different loved ones. Maybe it was just friends who you're like, I don't know, but they were incredible. Beloved, one day may people speak the same things over us. And Ecclesiastes calls us to look through the lens that way. If there's one thing that's undeniable for each and every one in this room, one undeniable truth is that today we are one day closer to our death than we were yesterday. Hallelujah. No, nobody? Okay. Listen, that's just the undeniable truth, right? It's one of the things that I challenge people with, especially in the church, when we're believing for miracles, when we're believing for God to move in power in this day and age. How many of you have seen cancer just fall off somebody? Isn't that amazing? How many of you have seen different diseases and different diagnoses? We've seen different individuals step up here and said, the doctor told me, but God. Oh, it's the best. It's the best because he's the only one that truly gets the final word. He's the one who created it all and set it all into motion. And so we can discover what it is that's there to be discovered because our God is a very poor hide-and-seek player. He actually wants us, right? He's like the guy like behind the curtain with his toes out of the end. Like that's the God that we serve. He's hiding, he's there, but he's actually revealed himself to us in creation. He's revealed himself to us in biology. He's revealed to himself to us in everything that happens around us. God is present in it all. It's who we serve. And so I love what it is that God does in the miraculous. As he steps in supernaturally to break his own set rules so that cancer can disappear in Jesus' name. So that sight can be restored. So that infertility can just be a sentence, but not a label that we have to walk. I love what it is that God does. But church, when we see cancer fall off somebody, when we see these different diseases absolutely removed from someone's life, don't forget that the next day, they're still one day closer to death than they were the day before. So we give praise for the miracle because, come on, he's worthy. but it is not the miracle that we seek. We thank God for the extra time, but we remember that that extra time is not actually the salvation that he provided. Oh, come on. Somebody needed that today. A reminder today that the only true healing is the healing that happens in the name of Jesus. When you claim the name of Jesus on your life, you can fast forward to that funeral. You can sit in that place in confidence, and you can declare what we asked God to help us declare yesterday. Lord, when I am in that casket or when I'm in the ground, may they say, I don't know what it is that was happening. There was all these things, but this undeniable truth. Those people at Life Center Kanata, they love Jesus. And may that be the light that shines. And so this is the book of Ecclesiastes. It asks these real questions. It asks us to step into these moments. Church, what was that moment in your life where you realized that you can't control the life that you've been given? For me, it was the birth of our first son. At night, as he began to wail, what a pretty word, right? Wail. As he just lost his absolute mind at night, right? Just had no respect that mom and dad were just a few feet over. He just demanded that we began to wake up. And I remember getting out of bed as Cass just kind of gave me that elbow. If you know it, you know it, right? Gave me that elbow. I rolled out of bed. I was like, all right. And I picked him up and I began to soothe him. And I remember about three or four nights in a row, I remember having this conviction by the Lord because I actually realized how unconsciously selfish I had been. I was so mad that he was waking me up every single night. I was a little mad at Cassie too, right? So many elbows, my ribs, right? It was a lot of disappointment and anger happening in my life at 3 a.m. And God spoke into my life and said that they need me. And it was this reminder in that moment that I was completely out of control of this stage in my life. But it was for all of the best reasons. That every noise that my son made in the middle of the night, every sacrifice that I made in sleep was because he could not provide for himself. He couldn't do it on his own, and so he needed me. And church, this is such a great example of our own life in Christ. As Jesus is there in the Garden of Gethsemane and he begins to cry out to the Father, God, if you will allow this cup to pass through me, please let it be so, but your will be done. It's this intimate conversation between the Father and the Son as they're having this incredible moment where fully God and fully man, Jesus says to the Father, is there another way? And God speaks over him. They can't do it on their own. Oh! Salvation came to the world through Jesus' obedience. And so this morning, that same obedience is required of us. Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verses 1 says this, a good name is better than precious ointment, and the day of death is better than the day of birth. Let's keep reading, because that's a lot. All right, better is the end of a thing than its beginning. And the patient in spirit is better than the proud in spirit. Be not quick in your spirit to become angry, for angry lodges in the heart of fools. Say not, why were the former days better than these? For it is not from wisdom that you ask this. Wisdom is good with an inheritance, an advantage to those who see the sun. For the protection of wisdom is like the protection of money, and the advantage of knowledge is that wisdom preserves the life of him who has it. Consider the work of God. Who can make straight what he has made crooked? I turned my heart to know and to search out and to seek wisdom and the scheme of things and to know the wickedness of folly and the foolishness that is mad. Now, admittedly, Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verses 1 and then also 8 to 13 and 25, they can sound a little bit like a riddle. But the entire chapter is asking us to dig in and sit in this place to recognize that on the day where we finally learned that we can't control life, we had a choice to make. A fork in the road. One of the paths is called escape. And many of us in this room know it well. To sit in that place and understand that we are not in control. And so instead of choosing the other path that's before us, we run down the path of escape. We throw off restraint. We party, we laugh, we overindulge, we numb ourselves. And what is here is remarkable is that we can do almost anything down this path. What is also interesting is that you can see two people down the same path doing the same thing while one is trying to escape and the other isn't. In my own life, numbing my path was a regular part of my high school career. Many of you have heard pieces of my testimony, my grandma being diagnosed with Alzheimer's, and those prayers that we just talked about, how we can actually thank the Lord and the fact that that happens, but through the light of eternity. Well, at the young age of 13 years old, I wasn't able to do that. I was asking God to move in healing because I knew that he could. I'd seen him do it before, and yet he didn't. And in his did not was my release to say, I will go my own way. And so I ran down the path of escape. I ran down the path of drugs and alcohol and selfishness. I ran down the path of overindulgence. And anyone here that has also gone down that path will know that this thing is true. While it may work in the moment, it does not bring satisfaction. There's darkness. And it creeps. Because it doesn't hit you right away. Anything that the Bible will reveal as sin, anything that the Bible will reveal as harmful to our soul is also extremely enticing and can be extremely pleasurable at the beginning. See, darkness creeps like a thief. It creeps into those moments where it says, see, this is exactly what it is that you need. But the moment that you begin to allow that thing to become a part of your life, the moment that we allow those temptations to be the thing that we resist and we don't go to God in repentance, the darkness begins to dwell in our homes. And church, I want to encourage you today that God has not called you to a path of escape. Christianity is not an escapism belief. We actually believe that in light of what it is that God will do when we breathe our last, that we can live fully in that place today. Jesus didn't call us to pray, God, as it is in heaven, take us there quickly. He called us to pray, as it is in heaven, let it be so here today. When you see cancer fall off somebody, it is a glimpse into what will take place when we see God face to face. Church, cancer has an expiry date. And it begins at the judgment seat of God, where every tear will be wiped away. And death, not only will it have lost its sting, it will no longer exist. And we will see God face to face. The other path that you can take is a path called wisdom. And Proverbs has called us to step into this place, to live a life not according to our own direction, but to live a life according to the word of the Lord. And this doesn't mean, as Ecclesiastes presents over and over and over again, this does not mean that life will be perfect, but it will be blessed. It doesn't even mean that your life individually will be blessed. Come on, somebody. But it means that the church, because you are following after the Lord with everything that you have, the church will be blessed. It doesn't mean that you as a follower of God, as you read Proverbs each and every day, a new chapter every day of the month, it doesn't mean that your worries and your concerns will fall away. But what it does mean is that you can step boldly every step that you take, knowing that God is with you. And no matter what it is that the enemy has planned for you, he doesn't win because only Jesus is victorious. And if Jesus has your life, he has your life. Full stop. No matter what it is that the doctors say or diseases that attack you. And it's easy to say these things out loud on a Sunday morning, as easy as it can be to simply read the word. Applying it is totally different. Because our lives can be hard. And there is profoundly unfair things that take place. Unjust things that take place. Suffering that takes place. And I don't know about you, but every time I see it, one word comes to mind. Evil. There is evil at work in the world. If you're here today and you believe in Jesus, you know whose feet we place that at. The deceiver. the evil one. He who knows where his eternity lies and is trying to steal, kill, and destroy the most precious thing to the Father, which is you and I and all who are made in the image of God. But where there is evil, there is also good. And let us not grow weary of doing good. Because, church, the best days are yet to come. And there is hope for the future. And so here at Life Center, although we are not completely in control, or all of you would be serving, we will not preach a word that leads to escapism. We want to see each and every one of you with Christ in eternal life. But more than that, we want to see each and every one of you alive with Christ today. Today. And so we will speak from his word because that's where wisdom lies. Dumami said something that almost had me rolling on the floor. He prayed and he said, allow Pastor Mitch to preach eloquently like he always does. That's hilarious. But I receive it. I receive it for a hope for tomorrow. But we'll speak from his word because that's where wisdom truly lies. It doesn't mean it's going to be easy, but it's right. And he is good. And he is trustworthy. And you can run this race in the full light that he has gone before you. Our Savior knows what it means to suffer. John the Baptist had his head removed. Jesus knows what it means to lose someone that you love. Our Savior walked this earth, and he's still alive today. He is with you. And so you can walk boldly before him. I'm going to skip to Matthew chapter 16 today. There was a bunch of other things that I wanted to read, but I just feel like this is where God wants us to go. Matthew 16, verse 24 says this, then Jesus told his disciples, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his soul? Or what shall a man give in return for his soul? For the Son of Man is going to come with his angels in the glory of his Father, and then he will pay each person according to what he has done. Truly, I say to you, there are some standing here who will not taste death until they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. Church, he's coming back. And we don't know the time or the hour, but we do know what it is that he's looking for. A church without spot or wrinkle. A church that would keep the oil in their lamp. A church that would be hungry and ready to receive that wedding invitation. A church that would recognize that the entire world changed on the day that Jesus died on the cross. And then it flipped upside down on the third day in which he was risen again. If you're here today and you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I challenge you. Leave your checklist for tomorrow. Tomorrow has enough worries for its own. But instead today, wrestle through this question. What does it look like to pick up my cross and follow him? I know that you have plans for tomorrow and Tuesday, and don't even get me started on Wednesday. How is it almost Wednesday already? Some of you are feeling that. But God is here in this room today, and he's calling to you. My child, my son, my daughter, follow me. What would it look like today to pick up your cross and follow after him? To release all of the plans that you have, all of the hopes and dreams that you have produced, and instead to say, God, I lay it at your feet. What do you want today? And what if he told you, I want you to go home and sleep? What if he asked you to come out and meet with him in nature? What if he asked you that today was the day to wrestle through forgiveness? What does it look like today to say, God, not my will be done, but yours? This is the invitation, beloved, to wrestle through, to ask God, Lord, would you be God of my life? See, we live in a time where many of you are not going to go from this place and plant more crops to harvest. You're not heading out to hunt for the meal that you're going to eat this afternoon. Church, we got time. No matter what it is that our world tells us and how busy the world has called us to be, you have time to be with God today. You have time right now for the next couple of minutes to sit in this space and wrestle with Jesus. Maybe you're here this morning and you don't know and you've never given your life to God, but you sense that something is tugging on your heart. Maybe you've just been walking through life and it's like that moment when you take a huge drink of water and yet it just doesn't quench your thirst. And maybe life has been like that for you where you just feel like, I've been drinking all this water, but I just don't feel relieved. I don't feel that release. I don't feel like I'm satisfied. It feels like I just keep having to go back and back and back, and my life is dry. Well, would you sit with me in this moment and just embrace the challenge? What if what it is that you're missing is Jesus? What if what it is that you're missing is Jesus? At 18 years old, in a service just like this one, God spoke through an older person in our congregation, just as I am an older person with gray hair speaking today. And this challenge came, I've done so much for you. Can you not do this one thing for me? And I knew in that moment that Jesus was asking me to give my life. Church, he has done everything for you. Maybe he hasn't met every prayer. Maybe not every hope or every dream has come to pass. But he sent his son to die in your place so that all of your sins could be forgiven, so that the mistakes and lies and pain that we've called each other or to ourselves would not be the report that we would have to give when we see him face to face. He sent his son to die in your place so that today you could recognize he is who he says that he is. He did die on the cross. He was risen again on the third day, and you can be free. And you don't have to do anything except receive it. Isn't God so good? Maybe you're here and you're like, that sounds too good to be true. It is. It actually is. It is so good, but it's so true. And if you're here today and you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, don't let it be my words that convince you. Talk to someone else in the room today and hear their story, a little different and yet still similar, of how God has also set them free. Can we pray today? Jesus. We have about 4 minutes left in our service. We're going to use all the time this morning. I'm just going to release you 60 seconds in this room. Everyone, speak to the Lord. God, what does it look like to pick up my cross today? With the gifts that you've given, the talents that you bestowed, the resources that you've given, what does it look like for me, God, to pick up my cross and follow after you? Maybe some of you in this room, you need to let hope be king again. And that's what God is calling you to do. Someone in this room, I just sense like there was this really big desire in your life to write music and write song, and God wants you to pick up that cross and follow after him, to begin to put words to paper again, and to allow the true revelation of what Jesus is doing in your life be a song that you would sit in, and maybe it's for the world, but maybe it's just for you. Maybe it's just songs that God wants you to pen, so that in your moments with him, you can sing them before your Father. What does it look like today to pick up your cross and follow him? Jesus, Jesus. As you continue to center in, if you're here this morning and you're sensing like God is asking you to step back into that moment of sacrifice. Maybe you've been in just a little too much of control of your life. Can you just take your hand and put it over your heart? Let's pray this prayer together. God, would you soften our hearts today? All across this room. Help us, Lord Jesus, not to try to run to the front of the rope, but instead, Lord God, help us to grab a hold of this rope and follow where it is that you would have, or that you would lead. We recognize and remember today, God, that you ran the race first so that we could follow and be an encouragement for those who are following as well. Soften our hearts today in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen, amen. If you're here in this room and you've never given your heart to God before, I want to encourage you to do so. Mommy's going to come up in just a moment. We have a prayer team that will pray for you. He'll let you know more about that. You don't have to make this step on your own, but it is a decision that you have to make. One of the biggest things that you have to wrestle through when it comes to Jesus is that he is true love, love incarnate, bearing the image of the Father. True love is a choice. God will not force his way into your heart, because true love doesn't force. And so the Bible says that he stands at the door and he knocks. So you don't have to do this on your own, but you do have to open the door and ask him to come in. And so if you're here today and you'd like to do that for the very first time, I just want you to take your hand and put it over your heart. And let's pray. God, this morning, I open my heart to you. Open my mind to you. You've seen all the times that I've tried to do it on my own, the wrestling that I've had. I keep drinking this water, and yet I'm still so thirsty. And so, God, if it's you that is supposed to quench my thirst, then I open the door of my heart to you today. Show me what true love is. Forgive me of my sins today. Help me from this day forward to not sin anymore. You died on the cross for me. And I recognize that, and I believe that you rose on the third day. Would you show yourself to me today in Jesus' name?